Congregation, with the help of the Lord, I preach the word of God this evening from Philippians 3. I'll read one verse, especially as text verse for this sermon, Philippians 3, verse 10, where we read God's holy and infallible word as follows. Verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. We also use the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 18, question and answer 49, like we have been reading. And the theme for this sermon is the power of the resurrection of Christ. The power of the resurrection of Christ. Congregation, it can happen that there is someone who has a very special interest in a certain topic or subject. You can see that, children. Someone is interested in horses. He or she wants to know everything about that. Another one, someone else is interested in planes and trying to get all the knowledge and information about that. For a certain period of time, it could happen that after some time you get tired of it. You lay it aside. You lose interest in it. It doesn't say anything to you. It doesn't do anything to you anymore like it did before. That could happen with any topic, any subject in this world, isn't it? That could never happen when we think about the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The knowledge that Paul is talking about, speaking about in this chapter and in our text verse, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Why not? Why is it impossible that we will lose interest, desire to know more of him? I'm not saying that there cannot be a time of backsliding, a time that our seeking of Christ is so weak that we have to be ashamed about it, but it will never go away. At least if we talk about a living knowledge. And there is the secret. That is knowledge that Paul is talking and speaking about, writing about in this letter, in this chapter. It is a knowledge of relation. It is a knowledge of faith. It is a living knowledge that is like a tie between Christ and his soul. And that cannot be broken, because that is the work of the Holy Spirit. It is the knowledge of living in a relation of faith with his Savior, to know him, by the experience of faith, to know him in his work, to know him in the power of his resurrection. When Paul says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, he doesn't mean that he does not know him at all. He certainly does. He knows Christ. He knows the power of his resurrection. But to know him and to know this power brings a desire to know it more. Although it does satisfy our heart and soul, give a deep contentment, at the same time, we start to know that there is so much in him We want more of it. Do you understand that? Do you understand the desire of Paul? To know him. And that he has that desire is because he does know him. So let's try to understand it better, deeper. If you would read a book about honey, and it would tell you that honey is sweet, then you would know that honey is sweet, isn't it? But the moment that you would eat it, that you would taste it, then you would say with delight, "Oh, wow, this is good. This is really sweet, delicious. I like it. I want more of it." Because you did taste it. Now you have the knowledge of experience. Well, that is what makes Paul to say that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. It is that he has experienced that power and the need of that power, his own weakness, to know him. The more you know Christ, the more you see that there is so much to know about him. It is like being in the mountains. I don't know if you ever were in the mountains, and then if you are at night in a valley and there are mountains that are like sky high, and then you look up and you think, "Oh, if I would be at the top of that mountain, I might touch the stars. Those mountains are so high." But the moment that you would climb the mountain and would be in the night at the top of the mountain, and you would look up to the sky, to the stars, then you would say, "No, I cannot touch them. It's not even close. They are so much higher than I thought when I was down in the valley." Isn't that the case with the knowledge of Christ? The more you know about him, the more you see how great, high, and precious he is. And that you will never be able to comprehend it all. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. What is that power of the resurrection of Christ? The Catechism is asking the question of what advantage to us is Christ's ascension into heaven. We recognize the Heidelberg Catechism. It's so characteristic for the Catechism to ask such questions. What advantage? Very practical. What does it mean to us, for our heart and soul, that Christ ascended into heaven? And very personal to us, of what advantage to us is Christ's ascension into heaven? And there's such a beautiful answer. It's so full. It contains so much about Christ. And we could say more. Oh, there is so much advantage in the knowledge of faith of the ascension of Christ into heaven. It is not something that made the disciples sad, was it? When he left them, was lifted up from the earth, and a cloud took him away from their sight. Do we read that they returned mourning, weeping? No, they were full of joy. They had joy in their hearts because of what they had understood about this ascension and what the angel told them about it. So what is the advantage to us? in Christ's ascension into heaven. First, that he is our advocate in the presence of his Father in heaven. So Christ is there in the presence of his Father in heaven as an advocate. So that means as someone who is pleading for God's children, for those that believe in Christ. Let's say you are in a situation that you are trying to get a certain position. You try to get a certain job. Or you try to get into a certain education. And so you applied. But you fear, you tremble. Oh, I don't know if I can make that. Do I really have what is needed? Do I have the capacities? Will they accept me? And you know there will be a board meeting. But what a difference would it be if there is a relative in the board? If there is someone that you know and that will plead for you, that gives you hope. It's a weak example to think about what it means for a sinner saved by the blood of Christ, trembling about his own weakness, depravity and sin, when he thinks about God and his holiness, but then remembering that there is an advocate in heaven, someone who is pleading on his behalf, for his sake. Father, I do not want this person to perish. I want him, her, to see my glory. What a comfort that comes in my heart when I, being aware of my guilt and sin and depravity, and being aware of God's holiness and righteousness, think about Christ. Being there in the presence of God and pleading for me. What an advantage it is that he ascended into heaven. It gives such a comfort in my soul. Oh, that I might know him more, that I may know him more, like he is there, in the power, that I might know the power of his resurrection. So you can think about the fact that Christ is there and that he is there with power, that he is there with authority, that he has the right to speak to his Father. Father, I have paid the price. I do not want this man, this woman, this boy, this girl to perish. He has the right to do that. To see that authority, that power of Christ. What a deep consolation. You don't have the right. Oh no, I do not deserve to be accepted by God. It's only for Christ's sake. Secondly, that we have our flesh in heaven as a sure pledge that he as the head will also take up to himself us, his members. So we have our flesh in heaven. What does it mean? Isn't my flesh here on earth? So how can the catechism say we have our flesh in heaven? Well, the catechism is saying that because Christ became one of us. You could say he became related to us. He became a member of our family. He became part of mankind. He became man, united with us, having the same humanity, the same human body, human flesh, like we have. He became like we are in all things, except for sin. He never sinned. And with that body, he ascended to heaven, visibly. The disciples saw him. And now at this very moment, he is there, in the presence of God. Can you imagine what that was? When Christ entered that glory and all the angels shouted for joy, and he was welcome there because he had done, accomplished all that had to be done to be acceptable to God. He had a perfect act of obedience, and we mean with that he lived a life as man on earth like you and I should live. I mean, to the glory of God, to the benefit of my neighbor. We do not. We have fallen in sin. We fail every day. Makes me sad. Oh, I needed comfort. That comfort that we read about in Lord's Day 1 of the Heidelberg Catechism. That I belong to him. That he bought me with his precious blood. That what he did is mine. Is imputed to me. His active obedience was perfect. He never sinned. He loved God with all his soul, mind, strength. Everything. And he also had a perfect passive obedience, which means he paid a price when he died upon the cross. When that was done to him, that's why we call it his passive obedience, in being punished for sin. That was also perfect. We could never do that. He has everything. And so, he has done what we should do. And he is part of the human family, you could say. He can be our substitute. He is for all those that believe in him. And now to know that he ascended into heaven, was received there, was welcomed there, because he is a perfect savior, when we by faith are united to him, we will be and we are welcome in that glorious place in heaven, for Christ's sake. There is a unity between him and his church, all those that are born again by the power of his Spirit and have that living faith. They are members of his body, like my hand is a member of my body. They are connected to him. And so, he as the head is there. And it gives us such a strong and certain hope that we will be there He is already there, like the first fruit of the harvest, that we have our flesh in heaven as a sure pledge. So what is a pledge? Something that has value and giving us like a proof that we will receive something. He is there as a sure pledge that he as the head will also take up to himself us, his members. It is true. It is so great that we cannot comprehend that glory. It is so great when we see our misery and how wretched we are in ourselves. Can this ever be true? That his body, that if the Lord Jesus doesn't return before that day, this body that will die, there will be a decay of this body. Can that be true? That I will ever enter that glory to be there with body and soul? Yes, it is. It can be. It will be. Look what happened. Christ ascended to heaven. So there is the proof. There you can see that it is true. It's like people climbing a high mountain and they wonder if they will ever make it. It's so steep. It's so high. Oh, will they not fall down and die and perish? But look, there's one who is in front of them, and he made it. He is at the top. And he is tying that strong rope there in a very firm way. And now they have a strong hold. They will make it. There's a strong hope in their hearts, because they see one of them already there. And oh, he is the one that like prepared the way. They only have to follow that rope that he has fixed there. Much more true and sure and certain is it that all that believe for salvation in Christ alone will be with him, will be received in that glory to be with God. What an advantage there is in Christ's ascension into heaven. Thirdly, that he sends us his Spirit as an earnest, by whose power we seek the things which are above. He sends us his Spirit, so that we will seek by the power of the Spirit the things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, and not things on earth. So he sends us his Spirit. Christ is there, but he is there in an active way. He sends us, and this is a confession of faith. This is what God's children see by faith and experience by faith. He sends us his Spirit. So Christ is busy sending his Spirit in the hearts of people, and that Spirit is working conviction of sin, but also that trust of the forgiveness of sin, and that new desire to live with Christ. He sends us his Spirit as an earnest. So something that is giving us a proof that these things are true. When you experience the power of the Spirit working life in your heart. I'm not saying that that is a foundation that you have to rest on. No, that's only in Christ. But it's so encouraging to see how the Spirit is working in your life, to experience His teaching and guiding in your heart, His inclining your heart to the fear of the name of the Lord. That power of the Spirit, it's like an earnest. You could say, like a wedding ring that is received to see the reality of the love and the faithfulness in marriage, an earnest that Christ is sending His Spirit in the hearts of God's children, those that trust in Christ. Oh, we need that. Oh, what a blessing. What an advantage that there is this Savior in heaven, that He is continuing to gather His church by sending His Spirit so that sinners will know Him and acknowledge Him as their Savior and only hope. Let us sing before we continue. Let us sing Psalter 152, stanza 1 till 5. 152, stanza 1. What time I am afraid, I put my trust in Thee. In God I rest and praise His word, so rich and free. 152, stanza 1 till 5. a congregation, so the third part of the advantage of the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ into heaven is with the words of the Catechism that Christ sends us his Spirit, by whose power we seek the things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, and not things on earth. And isn't that what Paul in a specific way means in this verse, when he says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection? So the power of his resurrection, that power that we will seek the things which are above and not things on earth. Very deep thought when you think about the reality that we are all born in sin, spiritually death, and that by the power of Christ, the power of his resurrection, sinners are raised out of the grave of sin, resurrected out of that situation of spiritual death, to live with the Lord. That's what we need. That power that we will not lay down in the depravity of our old nature, the way we are born, but that the power of Christ will make us alive, so that we will seek the things above. And that is not a thing that you only need one time. Yes, there is the need of a first time, that power of Christ works in our lives to make us alive. And if you see what Paul is saying here, it is clear that it is something that is continuing. It's not only the first time that we needed to know him and the power of his resurrection. No, that is there every day. We need it every day to know him, to know Christ in a personal relation of faith. So to be saved, to be born again, it means that we enter into a personal relation with Christ, a relation of to know him, to know him in a very intimate way, to know him in a way that we trust him. You can compare it to marriage, where you know each other, where you trust each other, where you are open to each other, do not try to hide things to each other. And in the most deep way, this is what to live with Christ means, to know him. And you have a desire to know him more, like it is in marriage. After 26 years, you still want to know more. You still discover new things. You still grow into a deeper relation. And so it is in spiritual life, that I may know Him. Yeah, I know, it's a weak example if you use the example of marriage. It will help us to understand what it means to be saved by faith, by grace. It's not just to agree about certain doctrines. That's part of it. It's not just to see that you have sins. That's part of it. It is much more. It is to know Him, to know Christ, to know Him in an intimate relation, to walk with Him daily. I understand Paul when he says that I may know Him. And the problem is not with him. The problem is with me. Oh, that I do not walk with Him like I should every day. The good that I would, I do not. Evil that I would not, I do. Oh, that I may know Him. Such a sweetness in it. It's such a satisfying thing. It's so fulfilling all my desires. It's giving such a contentment in my heart. It's making it so light within. It's bringing such a strong light in the natural darkness of my heart to know Christ. So, yeah, what does it mean to live with each other in a relation? It means that you think about each other, isn't it? Because there's the love in your heart. That other person in a certain way is always there. At least that is how it could be. How it should be. And much deeper it is in that relation to Christ, that I may know Him. And it's my only hope to rise out of the grave of sin, to get rid of the body of this death, like Paul says, to know Him. There is the key to know the power of His resurrection. Oh, that He will send His Spirit in my heart, so that I will seek the things above. Yeah, then I will do it. By the power and the work of the Spirit, I look up. I seek the things of God. I seek and I see the invisible things. And I am aware of the reality of it. The reality of the love of Christ. Some people say, well, things that you cannot see, they mean nothing to me. They are not real. That's strange. You cannot mean that. Would you say that, can you see love? Can you touch it? Can you show it to me? Can you get it out of your pocket? Here I have love. No. So it is invisible. Would you say that it is not real? Would you say that there is not the reality of love? That there is not the power of love? Sure. The invisible things are real. The things of the Word of God. The things of God are reality. Like you experience love. Faithfulness. All these things that you cannot see in daily life, but that you know that they are real. So, and much more are those invisible things revealed in the Word, reality, that there is a Savior in heaven, that there is an almighty and invisible God, wise and good, that He has prepared a way to have peace in your heart. Would you say that that peace is not real? I'm very sure it is. I know that peace. Oh, that I may know it more. And the key to know it more is in to know Christ. That I may know Him. And the power of His resurrection. He's not dead. He's not dead. He's alive. Mohammed is dead. Buddha. But Christ is a living Savior. At this very moment, He is there in the throne of God at the right hand of the Father. And He has all power in heaven and on earth. And He is sending His Spirit. Oh, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. I need that. I'm so weak. What about you? Do you have the power to resist the devil? Temptation of the world? The temptation of sin? Do you? No, you don't. If you think that you do, you are deceived. We need to know Christ. By whose power we seek the things which are above. Otherwise we don't do it. No. Isn't that true? We don't seek the things which are above. We seek the things which are on earth. They have our interest. We can spend hours and hours to think about them, to enjoy them, to seek them, to find them. Yeah, that's how we are. That's how our nature is. That's what we have to confess before the Lord. Oh, I cleave to the dust. Make me alive according to thy words. When that power is there, when that knowledge of Christ is there, then it's different. By whose power we seek the things which are above. What does it mean, which are above? Well, it means this. Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, that is above. It's about Him. Yeah, that's why a child of God is seeking that. It's not about heaven as such. Would there be any person that believes in heaven and hell that would not have the desire to end up in heaven? Place of glory. A place of light. Those that love to live in sin, do not think about Christ, would like to end up in heaven. And they will not. They certainly will not. If God will not change their heart. Because heaven is about Christ. That He is there, sitting at the right hand of God. That makes it heaven. To be with Him is heaven. To know Him, to know the power of His resurrection, something of heaven is coming in your heart, coming in your soul. That's good. Like you said when you were tasting that honey, you said, that's good. I want more of that. When you taste something of heaven, you say, that's good. I want more of that. That I may know Christ and the power of His resurrection. Oh, otherwise I seek the things on earth. I cleave to the dust. I do sin. And it is sin. Not to see Christ is sin. Not to have the desire to know Him is sin. Because that is the high goal of man, to know God We can only know him in Christ. And sin is that we miss our goal. So if there's no desire in your heart to know Christ, you're sitting here and you have all kinds of desires, all kinds of things that you hope, but nothing about Christ. If you have to admit that in your heart, it's very sad. Very sad. You have so much reason to cry, to weep and mourn about that. I hope you do. But there's hope. Not from you. That you may see that. There's hope in Christ. He came to seek sinners like you are. You that have a heart full of desires but not for Christ. You can be saved. Lay it before the Lord. Confess your guilt. Be ashamed about it. And think about what you are doing. Oh, you are in such a danger. If you continue, you end up in hell, in eternal pain. I tremble when I think about it. Well, there is a way that God has opened in His Son, in the Lord Jesus. And He has all the power. You say, I cannot do it. I know. Tell the Lord. Look unto Christ. Continue to do that. And beware of the hopelessness in yourself, so that you may know Him. And then it will change. He will do it. It is His Spirit that He is sending in your heart. And there will be life. You will raise. You will be resurrected from the grave of sin to walk with Him. And there will be an ongoing knowing of Him, to know Him more every day. And you will never get bored of that. You will never regret it. It will become more rich. We remember that person climbing a mountain. And the higher he came, the more he saw of the beauty of the sky. And that it was much higher and beautiful than he thought before. That's what happens to a child of God. The more you know him, the more you will say with Paul, that I may know Christ. And the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being united to him, and being made conformable unto his death, you will die. You will take his cross so that you will live. That old man will die, has to die, so that you will resurrect to know him, to know the power of his resurrection. I cannot find the words to explain it. It's too much. It's too high. You will experience it. It will be partly here. It will be perfect in eternity. And I have a deep desire that you and I, all of us, you children, you young people, we will be there before the throne of God to see the glory of God and the Lamb. And then we will know him like he is. And then we will give him the glory like he is worthy. We will take the crowns, cast them at his feet, say, thou art worthy to receive the glory, the honor, the praise. Thou hast bought us with thy blood, thy precious blood. Oh, This is reality. This is to be received by grace for sinners. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, Thou art in heaven. O Lord Jesus Christ, and what a consolation there is in that truth. Oh, that I may know Him. Then I will be conformable to His death. I will die. But Christ will live in me. It will be the power of His resurrection. It will be something of heaven. That harmony of heaven in the soul. Lord, bless Thy word. Apply to our hearts. It will make us free. The truth will make us free. Sin will lose its grip in our lives because Christ will show His power, the power of His resurrection. Pray, Lord, that Thou will work that in all hearts, that none of us will walk in darkness and die forever, and that we will walk in the light and live forever with Thee. Lord, be with us this night, this week. Help us in the things we have to do. Grant wisdom and strength. And Lord, keep us from sin, from the snares of the devil, the temptations of the flesh and the world. Lord, we pray that Thou wouldst make Thy kingdom flourish in our hearts, in our church, in our nation, all over the world. Let a day come soon that Christ will come for the second time in glory and will be seen by every eye as the King of Kings. Oh, what a day will it be to know Him like He is, no longer by faith, but by sight. What a day for Thy church. Lord, let it be a day of salvation for all of us, and not a day of terror, like it will be for those that did not bow and cry out to this Savior to acknowledge their guilt and His salvation. Lord, we pray, work faith in all hearts. Hear us in the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen.